everyone. This is Lisa Colon-Dile, and you're listening to Spark My Muse. This is Soul School Lesson 299. Today is a little different. I wanted to talk about something that I know I have gotten wrong a whole bunch of times my whole life. Now that I know better, I want to share it, and it's been kind of exciting to learn in a really basic way something that is so simple and so profound. I'm excited to share it with you. But first, I want to get you up to speed on what's been happening with me, because everything hit the fan around the time of my birthday, around February 23rd. I went to change my hosting for my website, and everything that could go wrong did go wrong. My website went down for a while. It's back up, unless you try to go to sparkmymuse.com, in which it'll take you nowhere. So you have to go to lisadelay.com. That'll get you in the right place, and hopefully I can have sparkmymuse.com forward to the right place soon. If you've had a little trouble getting to the website, that is why. And also, I haven't been able to get emails for over a week. I normally get 35 to 70 emails per account, and I have three major accounts where I get email. So this has caused a lot of consternation and frustration, as you might imagine. Lots of these emails are connected to website logins and ways that I communicate with people. It's been a rough week or so, but there has been good news. Spring is coming and there is nicer weather afoot. I got to just sit out under a tree in the beautiful sunshine, and it felt good to be connected with the earth more deeply. What I wanted to talk about today, I learned mainly on the Bible Project. I will be linking to the Bible Project, and they do wonderful lessons and amazing visual videos to learn all sorts of things. They're going over the Sermon on the Mount lately, and I found it incredibly insightful. The topic I want to talk about is righteousness. And for me, growing up as a pastor's kid, truly involved in the church, righteousness has always been defined pretty much as being morally justifiable, being morally upright. I don't think that is an error in definition. That's what you'll find if you go to the dictionary. But the way that it is represented in the Sermon on the Mount and in the many ways Jesus teaches us and in the ways that we should be thinking of it is not in some abstract moral way that doesn't have too much bearing on our life. A while back, people had bumper stickers on their cars that said, "I hate mean people." Whether they knew it or not, and they were trying to be funny or not, the oxymoron of hating mean people was funny to me. I thought that hate in itself was mean. So I didn't know if it was a declaration of self-hate or if it was just a confusion about that hating could be mean. Whatever the case, I don't see those bumper stickers around much anymore. But I think we do have a false idea of what it means to be righteous and how much that involves right relationships and doing right by others. So what I learned is that righteousness does not exist outside of right relationships and doing right by others. Doing right in God's eyes will not exclude what happens between us and others. We will not be living moral lives when we have bad relationships and bad interactions, when people consider us mean, when people consider us rude or arrogant. So how much we love God will always play out in our interactions with others, not in indirect ways or abstract ways or actions where we can kind of love humanity in general, but sort of hate people that we run into, or our actual neighbors or family members, where people drive us crazy. We can't be right with God and consider ourselves loving or virtuous if we harbor contempt or unforgiveness or disdain for other people. And that's really, really hard. People upset us, people annoy us, people do harm, and we hate them for it. That seems really normal. I think we have to get into our mindset and then into our actions that we must be able to hate the harm or wickedness a person does, whether it's to us or to others, and still find that person's life as valuable as our own. anytime we are minimizing someone else's dignity, or we try to reduce their worth, or we dismiss their value, that is when we have contempt for them. And according to the Sermon on the Mount, any form of contempt is a form of murder. Whether you are casting someone aside because you think they're stupid, or they have less value than you socioeconomically or educationally, those sentiments of contempt or disdain are murder. They're unrighteous. And they're unrighteous because they are not doing right by others. The times when we talk badly about people, we talk about them in a way we would never speak about them if they were there. Those are contemptuous, unrighteous actions. It penetrated my heart deeply to hear that, because I think righteousness has been this religious word. It's a word about having a right standing before God, and that can get pulled out into abstraction where it doesn't really come down to the places where we live. Some of you may know the passage that I learned as a kid. It's Romans 3, 10 through 12. And it's Paul speaking to the Romans, but he is hearkening back to a portion in Psalms. He writes, "It is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." I think I remember it something in the King James Version as, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God." That actually comes from Psalm 14, 1 through 3. "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of humans to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one." And this is also said again, practically the same way in Psalm 53, 1 through 3. And just looking at that a little bit further, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." That is not about atheism. That is not a belief that no supernatural power exists or some kind of mentality like that. It means just acting like our actions don't matter and that how we treat others doesn't really matter. We can do what we want and we should be able to do what we want. It doesn't really have consequences if we can get away with it. There's no real authority governing that or checking on that. There's no real power watching over that. And so we might say in our heart, it doesn't really matter. I can treat people how I wish. If I don't like someone because of something they've done, even if it's a righteous indignation, I can feel contempt for them in my heart. It goes on to say that there's nobody who understands or seeks after God. That seeking after God would mean understanding how important right relationship and doing right by others is. They've all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. And that is not just a general wickedness. This has usually been taught as some kind of Romans road to lead people to a conversion, to a particular kind of Protestant Christian salvation. It's a way for people to understand that they're sinful and show their moral failure and help lead them to belief in Jesus Christ. And on the surface, there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but it can really stay in our heads. And we can think of belief as a mental assent. But if it doesn't change our actions, or if it's just a performance and it's just about actions and it's not that we are doing it because of something we truly have given our lives over to, it is pretty worthless. So sometimes people say, oh, I believe this or I believe that, or they're very concerned in what you believe. But what are their actions like? And we might do the same thing. We might think of ourselves as very righteously angry or as wanting to help the little guy, the innocent ones. But what are our relationships like with other people? Who are the people we hold in contempt? Who are the people that we disdain? Are they the bullies? Are they the people we think are changing things into ways we don't think they should be changed? are there any ways we are taking value away from someone else in our mind? Those are ways of unrighteousness. I think we've all done it. I know I've done it. I might do that every day. And I'm convicted to think about righteousness in a new way. Not righteousness on this tally board of morality, but everyday regular righteousness that means doing right by others, doing right to others, treating people with the dignity that everyone deserves because they're human, and separating them from the bad choices or harm that they've done. Not that that shouldn't be accounted for. It should be. People should be stopped from doing wrong. We should actively confront and stop them, but at the same time, know that they are valuable and can one day be redeemed. That is a supernatural thing, I think, that has to happen, that people can realize what they're doing, change their minds, and turn around. But it really touched me how righteousness is far more than an idea or a list of things we do that are virtuous. They always will involve people. It'll always be a messy thing. It'll involve the daily workings out of people we may avoid or we may come in contact with or we may have great hesitation to speak to or interact with. And that's all I have to say about that. If you'd like to be connected to more for this episode, go to sparkmymuse.substack.com, and that should always be up. It doesn't have anything to do with my hosting problems. I will add more there, usually some of my reflections and some images and things like that. In last week's episode, I also uploaded the audio as well, so you can hear that there too, not just where you find podcasts. Thank you so much for your support, for sharing my work, for financially contributing whenever you can. It really helps. May you find blessing and peace.